You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Hello, everybody. This is your buddy, Ryan Singer. I hope you're doing well. I am doing splendid. I am juiced. I am jacked. I am stoked. I am yoked on iced coffee in the late hours of the night. This is when I'm alive, you know, like the moon is barely out. I mean, to be more specific about that, oh my God. Oh no, there it is. Sorry. I got all excited. I am at a new moon right now. We are, this is like, I mean, tomorrow is like the purest of the new moon at 0% or whatever, but it's like 1% right now. So, you know, I'm a new moon guy. I'm a new moon guy when it comes to magic and things like that. So, new moons get me juiced, get me riled up. And there's a lot to talk about here. Like, specifically, what am I going to be discussing in this third year bonus? I'm not even 100% sure yet. I need to tell you about this LED light meditation. I need to give you updates on the Florida documentary. I need to give you updates on just life in general when it comes to things, conversations I'm having. There's an awakening of the supernatural and the paranormal. I'm watching the series Dark. Many people have suggested that I watch Dark, and it is incredible. Oh my God, it's so incredible. Please watch it in German with English subtitles if you are an English-speaking person. Please let the actors use their real voices. It so contributes to the quality of the experience when it comes to viewing this series. In my not so humble opinion, I suppose it would be not so humble in this particular case. Now, what I was saying was there's so many conversations I've been happening lately to where I feel like the paranormal has become almost, we're transitioning into the great melt, where these things are becoming so normal now for, you know, people who weren't considering these fantastical ideas, possibilities, realities, in fact, are now curious to have these conversations in broad daylight. No longer are we relegated to the late night hours of the coast-to-coast AM, in the shadows, creeping around. The witches are all around us. The mainstream media getting on board with disclosure. I'm trying not to be the guy who liked the indie rock band who now has a mainstream hit and now gets upset about that, you know, because this is what I want. This is what I think the world needs is disclosure, the communal discussion worldwide of understanding we are not alone in the intergalactic neighborhood, potentially. And when I say potentially, I mean definitely. I mean, right? We get it. There's aliens. We know that. Also, Skinwalker Ranch. I have to mention Skinwalker Ranch because it's a crazy story that I almost don't even feel like sharing because I almost feel like it's too much to share and not feel like I'm an idiot for sharing it, right? But let me just say this. If you happen to work/live at the Skinwalker Ranch right now and you're listening to this, I'd love to bring two of my buddies over. I think you know who they are. And come have dinner. My buddies Ed and Claudia. Maybe we'll come out and just have dinner on the property at the ranch. Now, if that's something that we think can happen, shoot me an email. meandparanormalyou@gmail.com is the email address. So, you know, if you just happen to live there by chance or work there, spend a lot of time there, have access to the grounds, and want me and Ed and Claudia to come have dinner, let me know. We'd love to come, you know, just have a meal, you know, just kind of like hang out. No big deal. No big deal. No recording devices or anything like that. So, okay, I've gotten that out of the way. I'm going to have to be doing this disclaimer, you know, from every episode here on out. I also want to do the disclaimer that if you are an alien and you are listening to this and you think that, you know what, maybe it's time we got into the world of podcasting, this is the perfect program for you to come on. I mean, sure, we don't have the listeners that Joe Rogan has. over here, but this is, you know, the audience here. I might say that they're maybe a kinder, gentler, more thoughtful audience. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to characterize anybody who listens to Joe Rogan. But, you know, when you have millions of people listening to your podcast, chances are you just have a higher percentage of, you know, maybe people who like watching other people beat each other to a bloody pulp. I don't necessarily think that's our target demographic over here. But, yeah, so maybe this is the program is what I'm saying. It's a kinder, gentler world over here, maybe just a bit. And also a shorter time commitment on your part. I wouldn't keep you for 5 hours. I mean, I'd be happy to. I mean, if I'm interviewing the first extraterrestrial, or I mean, you know, that's a tricky, this is a tricky thing now. Because there are people who have claimed to be aliens and extraterrestrials who have gone on programs, most certainly. So for me to say that to be the first one, I'm overstepping my bounds a little bit here. Because I cannot prove nor disprove that an alien has never been on a podcast program heretofore this date. Did I say that correctly? Heretofore this date. Heretofore. There's never been an alien, a gray or reptilian otherwise, on an audio podcast program. I don't know why I'm talking like that other than I'm juiced up, I'm jacked up, I'm yoked, I'm stoked, I'm ready to rock. Let's talk about LED light meditation. I have to find the business card so I'm not a total, schlep. Just keep listening. I could have paused there. I really could have, but I chose not to. Why? Because I think you deserve a true listening experience. I haven't done a 30-year bonus in a while. This is fun. I forget that I have so much fun doing these. I don't forget that they're fun. I just forget how much fun I have when I'm doing them. Does that make sense? Inner Light Journeys, LLC, AshevilleLight.com. If you're in the Asheville, North Carolina area, experience light-induced meditation in the best light show of your life. Inner Light Journeys, LLC, go to AshevilleLight.com and you can set up a session. What I'm going to tell you, you might not believe. I mean, certainly you probably will believe it. I'd like to think I'm somewhat of a credible source. Here's where I'm at. Many of you know that I have another podcast. This is Where the Magic Happens with the wonderful Angela Lovell. We have so much fun doing that. Mostly doing magic talk. Every once in a while some paranormal stuff, you know, comes in and spiritual and some other things. But that in addition to this, the Mindcast, which is now 5.5 years strong, I have, needless to say, been swallowed by woo and the supernatural and the mystical and the esoteric and all things paranormal. As you know, I've been doing, you know, now for a few years now, I've been doing investigations. How time flies. Actively participating in an ongoing investigation that I can't really give you details about currently, as there's other things attached to it that I'm trying to do with it. So it's a bit of a secret project. There's lots of things going on, right? And there's other things I haven't been able to tell you about that ended up going nowhere, not being sold, blah, 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 to the entertainment industry, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, they're not really worth discussing, like, post-mortem in that sense, to where I just don't know that they'd be that interesting to you to hear TV show ideas that we thought we might sell or got close to selling that didn't end up happening, relating to the paranormal and comedy. So, having said that, I have become swallowed by all of this stuff, as I'm sure you're aware, and I just can't overstate how many incredible and wonderful people I've met in these last 5.5 years that have been generous with their time. Every once in a while, I get extremely lucky to, you know, receive the benefit of, you know, like pro bono, paranormal meditation, light work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just because of my openness to it and my willingness to it, and, you know, also quid pro quo. my willingness to also talk about it on the program here, right? So it's like, you know, give a little, get a little. I got to tell you this. So the inner light journey, the LED light meditation that I had in Asheville just like a week and a half ago, whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, it doesn't matter when it was. You're my child. Okay, now I'm Heath Ledger and Mel Gibson and The Patriot. So it was free for me. And boy, oh boy, Melissa Hahn set it up, who runs and promotes great comedy shows in the Asheville, North Carolina area. She set the whole thing up. They sponsored the comedy show that night that we had at Fleetwoods, which is incredible. Incredible venue for comedy and music and a really cool shop. Everybody there was really awesome. I got this Tony, the bartender. I have to find him on Instagram because he gave me voodoo oils. He's like a voodoo high priest. And he gave me two different tinctures, right? And I have to follow up and remember what they were. Some cool stuff, right? So anyway, this was like a great day in Asheville. I mean, you know, all said and done, what a great day. I thought I was going to, you know, go meditate, and I've been told it's 15 minutes long. So I go, you know, with the frame of mind that, okay, we're going to have a nice 15-minute meditation. This will be my meditation, count as my meditation for the day. This will be nice and relaxing. I might even fall asleep, right? Because I had a hard time sleeping the night before. I have a hard time sleeping in someplace new, especially when it's dark. And I was sharing a bedroom and bunk beds with my buddy Gilbert, who had fallen asleep earlier, so I turned the light off for him. So then I went to bed. It was totally dark in there. And you've heard me talk about how I'm still not sleeping with the lights off. And it's been a month and a half since my experience in Florida. I'm still not comfortable in total darkness, even my own room. I slept with quite a few lights on in here last night, actually. So I actually had to sleep. Oh, God, I mean, I was also in Springfield, Missouri, and it was like really rural, and I was very scared. But of no fault of the person who was being incredibly generous to me and giving me a place to stay that particular night while I was driving across the country. So I go in and for this LED light meditation with Gilbert and Melissa, and we're going to do a 2-minute sample. And then after the 2-minute sample, just so we can see what it's like, then we'll go in for the 15 minutes. And you can either bring your own music or just listen to whatever they're going to play for you, whatever Chris is going to play. So I'm just going to let him select the music, right? So we go in for the 2-minute thing, and it's just a bunch of white LED lights in this little, like, circular, you know, arranged lamp that kind of comes down over your head, and you have, like, noise-canceling headphones on. So, we do the 2-minute. I go first. I'm very excited about this. Like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And, you know, maybe who knows what'll happen. Maybe it'll increase my visions and my meditation. It starts, and then almost immediately, you're just like, holy fuck. This is not more than I bargained for. But this is not the experience I thought I was having or going to be having coming in here. I finished the 2 minutes, and I'm like, wow, that was pretty intense. And then I let everybody else, you know, Gilbert and Melissa, do their 2 minutes. I think I ran off to the bathroom real quick because I was like, this is going to be pretty intense. I better use the bathroom first. So I come back, and then I'm the first one who goes in for 15, right? And the music that's being played is, the best way to describe it is like shamanic drum music, you know, with chanting and like, something like that. I'm not doing it. I should probably cut that out. I mean, I don't know. It's just me trying to recreate the music I was hearing. It's not me trying to be disrespectful to culture or anything like that. So please, if you found that offensive, that was not my intention. I'm just trying to give you a vibe, right? And then, like, at different points of the meditation, the 15 minutes, the drumming would become much more intense. And if anyone has done, I have not done an ayahuasca ceremony, but it sounds similar to what people have described to me when it comes to the shaman in the ayahuasca ceremony, controlling the beat and controlling the playing the drums to affect different sensations, moods, visions, etc. And I got to tell you, it was intense. I was inside of tense. The intensity was wow. I didn't realize on this fateful afternoon, which I believe was a Wednesday or Tuesday or something, that I essentially was going to be smoking DMT without smoking DMT. To say I wasn't prepared for that would be an understatement, okay? So these LED lights, holy shwo, they make you blast off, okay? We're talking a major blast off, and there's different intensities and then blinkings and things like that. There's variations in light pattern and speed and lumens, maybe if that's a way to say it, and brightness that affects different patterns and changing things. But it's a white light with your eyes closed, yet you will see, I saw, an amazing variation of patterns of light spanning from red, blues, whites to like almost like oranges to dark, to like dark purples, to all kinds of things. I swear, and the patterns, oh my God, the patterns. I mean, it was a little, I'm not going to lie to you, I probably drank a little too much coffee before going in. I shouldn't have done that probably. It got pretty intense for me at one point where I thought I might have to stop it. Because I was reaching that fight or flight moment you experience when you do psychedelic drugs, and I really made myself. Oh my God! I'm staring at this tapestry I have hanging in my room of this eagle that has all these like it's very geometrical, and I'm being taken back. Oh God! Triangles and circles and such. So. I almost had to stop because I thought I was either going to get nauseous and or just too scared, right? And I was like, you have to push through. You have to push through. Like, please don't give up. Please don't give up. Please don't run away from this. Please don't run away from this. It was so intense, though, right? So intense and unexpectedly. So then I don't know how much time has passed. But in the two-minute sample, it felt like it was 15 seconds. Okay, but in this 15 minutes, it felt like it was 2 hours. Very strange how those things flip and our concept of time and where our mind goes and the things we see and the patterns that develop. And then I start seeing the flower of life. And you know what I'm talking about. It's sacred geometry. The flower of life starts appearing, and now I'm tunneling. I'm going down this fluid tunnel, almost being led as a fish snared on a lure. And I'm following the flower of life down these fluid tunnels, almost as if it was the bobber and I was chasing it, unable to get any closer or even further away, but yet being led every which way that it would go. And it was fucking beautiful, man. And then, I have drawn this on my phone. I think I even posted it already on the Me and Paranormal You Instagram. It just kind of like, and maybe because I'm in my head thinking I might want to see it, or maybe I created it, maybe I manifested it, maybe I visualized it purposefully, but like everything went kind of like a beigey yellow, like a dull yellow. And then there were like these subtle gray outlines that were there that were kind of like when a pencil is, when you write with pencil on a paper and smear it. So I see the lizard's eye. Now, many of you are familiar with what when I say the lizard in my brain and things like this. And I used to see, I would think I believed I saw the lizard eye on the ceiling in a dark room before. And there's been, I think there's been some other times. The lizard eye usually appears to me in times leading up to great transformations or big changes in my life. So I don't know. I don't know what big change may or may not be occurring. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm in the middle of it. So it's just something that's happening that I'm too close to the forest to see the trees of change, right? And so I kind of briefly see the lizard eye, and I'm like, that's wild, man. The lizard's eye is here. This is so cool. And I start, like, getting a little more excited now. And now I'm starting to try to control the visualizations a little bit, excuse me, of the things I'm seeing, which is a fool's game, trying to steer the ship through the visual imagery of the subconscious, potentially, or of the affected by the natural release of DMT from one's pineal gland, which is what I was told this light will do. Help you, it'll help make that happen. And so I cannot say that I disagree with that. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the scientific backing or have at my fingertips the studies and the research. This light was developed by a scientist. Apparently, there's 280 of them that have been made in the world. This guy has one of them. There's one out in Santa Monica, the west side out here in Los Angeles. I need to go. He's connected us on the internet. I have to go out there. I'll go out there again at some point. But what I'm saying is you don't need to, like, do psychedelics to go do this. You're getting the psychedelic effect naturally, right? You're kind of getting a cheat course, the cliff notes, to what you hear about people like monks or other people who are hallucinating in a psychedelic kind of way while they're meditating. So whether or not DMT is being released from the brain or from the pineal gland at this point is anyone's guess, okay? I'm going to say it seemed like it was pretty interesting, to say the least. These intense, rapid, I almost want to say forceful visualizations. There was no way to escape these visualizations. Sometimes when you're hallucinating on a psychedelic drug, there are ways to kind of shake loose, like the etch and sketch. And during this light meditation, there's no way around it. I mean, you could cover your eyes probably with your hands from the light, but I chose not to do that. Next thing you know, I'm getting all these reds and blues and whites kind of simultaneously in this interesting pattern. I'm getting like the flower of life again. It's kind of all happening. Like, there seemed to be a few different patterns that kept recurring for me. And then everything kind of shook loose, goes beige, that like dull yellow again. And I recognize this. This is the gray, subtle lines of, like, when I was saying, like, you know, smeared graphite pencil on paper. Like, after you draw a line on a piece of paper with a pencil and then you take your fingertip and smear it. They're kind of like that. And all of a sudden I realize those are scales, man. Man, those are lizard scales, man. And admittedly, I've been talking a lot about lizards lately in my act and just thinking about lizards a lot. Holy shit, man. Like, you want to talk about, like, just feeling like a weirdo sometimes? You have these, like, moments of self-awareness. I'm just like a grown man in my room at 11 o'clock at night on, like, a Tuesday, just being like, thinking a lot about lizards, man. Just thinking a lot about lizards, you know? Just think about lizards a lot. And so this is the life that I've chosen. Thank God. And this time the lizard eye comes into a little more distinct clarity and focus. And it doesn't whoosh away quickly like it did previously. And now it's me, man. I just want to always slip into that voice. It's me staring into what I would guess was the left eye of the lizard head, right? So I'm looking at it from a profile view. I'm seeing its profile. I'm seeing the left eye. And it's slowly but surely, from a great distance, floating ever so gently toward me, becoming larger, darker slightly, but more in focus. But one thing is distinctly clear in this moment. The music is intense, and the lizard eye is coming toward me. So now the lizard eye is coming toward me. I am in a good place with my breathing, I believe. I'm not freaking out. This is kind of exciting. And other different visualizations of this particular meditation that the LED light would cause, my heart rate would speed up, and I'd have to really be purposeful in taking deep breaths because it would kind of almost raise my anxiety to a certain level, which is supposed to be relaxing, right? But when it comes to, you know, hallucinating in me, I know who I am. I don't seek hallucinations out like that, like people like who love that stuff, like whether it's DMT or mushrooms or acid or things like that. That's not my thing, right? I understand its purpose and its medicinal qualities and values from time to time, but it's not something I regularly like to partake in. Hence why, you know, Mother Ayahuasca, Mother Leaf or Mother Vine hasn't truly called me to the point where I'm like, I have to do this. Because the idea of a 4 to 6 hour event doesn't strike me as like my calling at this point. So now keep in mind, this is a 15-minute meditation thing that I thought was going to be way too short, and then I might just start to fall asleep and then wake up because it's over. Now I have not only been traveling through liquid tunnels, chasing at a fixed distance the flower of life, now I am being approached on what feels like the astral plane or the ethereal plane, in some kind of multidimensional space outside of the material reality that we accept to be our daily lives. The lizard eye floats toward me, bigger than me. So close now that I see it. And I'm having a profound experience, right? Meaning ascribed to imagery, whether they're archetypes buried deep in the subconscious human mind, I don't know where the profundity, the impactfulness of this specific imagery for me first took hold, but the lizard and the lizard eye, to me specifically, is... it has deep meaning, even though I understand nothing of the specific meaning that it has. I hope that makes sense to you. Maybe there are things in your life. Maybe it's a crow. Maybe it's a snake. Maybe it's a rabbit. Maybe it's not even an animal. Maybe it's a plant. Maybe an orchid flower. Or maybe it's... I have no idea what it might be for you, because that's for you to know. But for me... maybe the tales of me, you know, recalling the events of the lizard in my brain and the other times I've told the story, the shared experience of the lizard and the lizard eye with other people, and therefore it altering because of the shared energy given to me by the people I've shared it with. Now it becomes not just my story, it becomes the story of every person I've ever shared it with, slightly affecting and changing that story, and therefore contributing, altering the meaning and the deepness and how it affects me emotionally and even physically, spiritually, maybe psychically. I don't know why the lizard eye and the lizard itself found me in this particular case. But for whatever reason, valid or invalid according to whatever measuring system one might want to use, that's not important to me because it is my individual experience, I guess, and therefore has validity essentially imbued inside of it because of that. Embedded inside, part of it. So now the lizard eye is so big, I'm there, the pupil, right? And it's like beautiful. It's so beautiful. I wish you could see it. It's so big. It's so beautiful. And I'm so tiny. I'm so small. It doesn't stop getting closer to me. Now, I am entering the eye, specifically the pupil of the lizard, its left eye. Now I am swallowed, engulfed by the lizard's eye. Things briefly go totally dark, and then boom, I'm back to a different pattern, the flower of life or whichever one it might be. But I can't tell you how cool that was. I mean, I'm telling you how cool it was right now, but I'm really glad I pushed through the initial, like within about the first three to four minutes of the experience, I was starting to think, you know what, this might not be my bag because it's a little too jostling, a little too much, a little too extra, as the kids would say. I just didn't know what I was getting into. It's funny because the music will affect the overall experience in a deep way. My friend Melissa, who suffers from migraines, didn't have the greatest experience with it at first, because of, maybe her history of migraines and that. But then she went back in later with some different music, like with some Pink Floyd, The Wall, because Gilbert actually had some wall playing. And even from sitting outside and understanding that he was now listening to The Wall as opposed to the intense drumming and the shamanic chanting, my sensation of what his experience was probably like totally changed. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. That would be pretty cool. And you're encouraged to bring your own music to these things as well. So if you want to plug in your own music somehow, that is encouraged. I was going to do my typical meditation music that I use, but I didn't. I was just like, let's have something new and, maybe I'll fall in love with some kind of new thing. If I were to go again, I'd probably do that music and or maybe experiment with some other music that was a little less intense for me, or maybe something that was like, very more slow and gentle at the beginning and then maybe ramped up to intensity maybe about halfway through. Nonetheless, the experience I had was very intense. I felt different for at least a day or so afterward. We did a show later that night, and I was just like, let me tell you, man, you, there's like light can make you travel, and I'm just, I'm freaking out a little bit. I'm not freaking out, but I'm not like really freaking out, but I'm like, having a good time regaling the audience about the psychedelic qualities of simple light flashing above you while music plays with your eyes closed. It's fucking cool, man. Like, I had no idea. So if you're interested in experiencing something like this and you live in the Asheville area, you got to check out Inner Light Journeys, okay? And I think they're 15 minutes long, which doesn't sound long, but let me tell you something. If you've ever smoked DMT, you know what we're talking about. It feels longer than 15 minutes, my friend. God, I'm going to watch the last episode of season one of Dark tonight, if I can get all this other work done. It's almost midnight, and I'm dilly-dallying. Well, I'm having a good time discussing the lizard eye and what it may or may not mean. There's just so much going on in this world that we can try to figure out, So that's where joy, excitement, splendor comes into play, the journey, the seek. I hope to continue my journey of seeking and looking and, you know, trying to find some answers. There's so much going on all the time. Sometimes I do feel overwhelmed. I've put a lot on my collective plates that I'm spinning. I feel like not only am I spinning multiple plates in the air simultaneously, but there's a lot on those plates. And that's a pretty fun way to live, right? I've had some great experiences meeting some genuinely just beautiful, wonderful people recently as well, which I've been really lucky with that in my life. And it's, it's a real blessing to be sure. No doubt about that. So thank you to those people. And also thank you to the patrons of the Mindcast, by the way. I'm going to be reading off those names in the next episode. Because I think we have the most patrons we've ever had right now. That's wonderful. I'm going to manifest. Let's even get to 100 patrons. I think we've got 50. Let's get to 100. I mean, that would be awesome if we got to. I mean, if we got to 100 patrons, I mean, that would just really. I mean, tickle me. You know what I mean? The 50 that we have right now are more than expected and wonderful. For $1 or $3, so don't forget. You can check patreon.com/RyanSinger. There's some thermal images over the one of the creatures that we caught on thermal cam in Florida over there. There's the wood knocks, some really creepy audio found, which brings me to updating you on this situation. Excuse me. I've been in email contact and correspondence with Carolyn Bridges, who lives on the property, and as you know, I love deeply her and Bill. I've got a pretty good Bill Bridges impersonation I'm working on. I'll bust that out the next time I see him, which will potentially be very soon. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, but it's true. I don't know how this is going to play out. While I was in Cincinnati working at Go Bananas Comedy Club, which was another amazing weekend, thank you to everybody who came out, I received a phone call on that Sunday from my buddy, Ed Brown. Ed Brown, as you know, is the investigator friend of mine who was in charge. This is his project. This is his baby, right? And he calls me up. He says, I've got good news and I've got good news. What do you want to hear? Good news and great news. What do you want to hear first? I was like, okay, give me the good news. He tells me something. And he's like, I'm like, so what's the great news? And he goes, the great news is we can go back to the property in October. And my heart stops. Right. I'm still sleeping with the lights on in like hotels in Ohio. Okay. Where I'm at mentally, emotionally on this, physically. And he says, you don't have to answer now, but we have access to the property for no fewer than, I don't know, 5 days or a little over a week even, to do more, film more footage and things like that, which, having some experience with being a part of other documentaries and things like that, and even working on one of my own, I understand that when it comes to documentary, the more footage, the better. You can never have enough. So I'm like, well, yeah, that's great, because the more footage, the better, obviously, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Going back, there's been some time since the first things. This would be an interesting perspective. Sometime, you know, what happens now when you go back? And so I'm just like, oh, I know I have to go back. And I've never known I had to do something more without wanting to do it in my life, maybe. I mean, because I think, you know, I detailed in horrific detail the terror and the mortal fear that I felt in that moment. And I honestly don't think I could ever handle hearing that again. I just don't think my heart could take it. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense to you. When you hear that, I think it's probably pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's pretty easy to probably comprehend me saying that. But I don't mean like my heart couldn't take it. Like I just would never want to do anything paranormal again. No, I mean like literally. I don't think my heart could handle it. Like my heart might just stop work. I might die, is what I'm saying. I mean this quite literally. I don't think my heart could take it. I just don't know. You weigh the cost versus the reward versus the payoff, or what you're getting for the potential cost of something. And I just don't know. In this particular case, Bill and Carolyn will not be home. The one thing that makes me feel safe on that property is being by close to Carolyn. You remove that from the equation, I don't know if I would just have an immediate panic attack upon entering the property and realizing she's not there. I mean, I think they'll be there for the first day. That's it. So I just don't know. You know what I mean? Like I gotta say thank you to my friends who have graciously listened to me sharing these stories in private conversations and like the way I'm feeling and processing all of this stuff. And, you know, not all of them get it. And that's not their fault. I don't expect all of my normal friends to understand my paranormal problems. I've talked about this phenomena, I think, multiple times now. We just can't expect all of our normal friends to understand our paranormal problems, even if they seem to really be into paranormal stuff. I guess it's, you know, it's expecting too much from people. That doesn't mean we should shut down and not share, because that's what keeps people in the attic about their experiences, is because the way people react with such distrust and denial, they just want to shut you down immediately by just saying, well, what about this? You know, and it's like, I'm not trying to have a discussion right now about the potentialities or possibilities of an experience I had. I'm trying to share just an experience I had that was traumatic for me. I don't need you to shoot holes in theories about how you think I didn't experience what I feel like I experienced. That's not the time for this. And you just can't expect everybody to not do that. That's just part of the gig, I guess. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it. I mean, if it was easy to share and do this, I guess, there would never be people afraid of sharing. You just have to find your people. You have to find your tribe. You have to find your weirdos who have, and when I say weirdos, I mean that in the greatest way. Like people who are deeply empathetic. Empaths typically will not do this. They won't behave in such a way to try to shoot you down and you poke holes in your experience, you know, as you're trying to just get it off your chest and share it and connect and not feel fucking crazy, you know? Because typically when we are sharing a crazy experience or something that could be labeled outside of the ordinary, extraordinary, supernatural, mystical, et cetera, we need to feel like we're okay. We want to feel like everything's going to be all right. Tell me you hear me. And that's all we need. Tell me you hear me. You don't have to believe me. Just please acknowledge that you hear me and that I am here and that you are here and we are here together. And currently in this space, I feel safe enough to recount a story or tell you something that other people might label me as insane about. It's not about always feeling physically safe. It's about being intimately safe or emotionally safe. Having some camaraderie emotionally. That's really all people want, I think, you know. I've been lucky enough, that's how I'm framing it, to have had multiple experiences of different varieties when it comes to the supernatural, the paranormal, or however we want to label them, extraordinary. Obviously, one of them is much more traumatic than some of the others. And That doesn't mean it's better or worse or more valid or less valid. What it does mean is, luckily for me, I'd been in a position where I have shared, you know, stories about things I've experienced for years now and faced, you know, faced a lot of ridicule, I guess, in certain ways, you know. When you hang out with nothing, most of the last 15 years to 20 years of my life have been hanging out in comedy clubs, hanging around stand-up comedians. So I've been hanging out with people who I think are some of the brightest, funniest people in the world. And so when those people decide to use their sharp wit and humor on you, and every comedian this has happened to in one way or the other, it doesn't have to be a paranormal experience, but if you're a comedian long enough, guess what? All the comedians that you're hanging out with, eventually, it's kind of like take turns, and then somebody's the subject, somebody's the target at some point. That's just the way life goes, right? And everything else as well, in groups of peers and things, right? So when you have, you know, some of the smartest, funniest, quickest people in the world using their sharp wit to try to dismantle your idea of, you know, dating a woman who could shapeshift, you can imagine the fun that it's had there, right? Now, that's a little bit different than what I'm talking about when it comes to, like, the subtle ridicule. But it definitely still falls under that umbrella. Because humor is a great defense mechanism. When people don't want to try to process information, integrating things that they don't believe are possible into a new reality moving forward, especially when they didn't experience it. And you can't expect people to do that. We see evidence of this everywhere. Trying not to believe something about something or someone, et cetera, et cetera. Go to great lengths to preserve a perception of something, reality. So, I'm well adjusted to the, not well adjusted, I don't know if anyone would ever claim that I'm well adjusted. I think I'm pretty well adjusted, actually. All jokes aside, I think I'm doing okay in that area. But needless to say, I have weathered these storms of subtle ridicule and even, you know, not even subtle, outright, blatant ridicule for over a decade, you know, from some of the funniest people in the world. So, which is better than, like, just being screamed at by someone who's not trying to be funny. You know, admittedly, that's, you know, a much preferable way to have to experience it. So going into sharing this most recent experience that I had recently, it's, you know, I know what I'm up against. I know what I'm in store for. I know what was in store for me. And that was helpful to me. And so understanding going in that these things were going to be happening, these shutdowns, these denials, the relentless questioning of the proposing of alternate scenarios that are, you know, quite frankly, less plausible than being screamed at by a Sasquatch in the woods, as more likely to have occurred that I'm just not aware of or hadn't thought of, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I knew those things were coming. And to be clear, this is much different. What I'm talking about is much different than having a thoughtful conversation with a friend about all the different potentialities or possibilities that may have occurred in this situation. That's a conversation, right? And that's different than what I'm talking about here. So all of this is going into me trying to decide whether or not I go back. And considering what we've found on the thermal imagery, considering the other evidence, considering the wood knocks that you can hear right outside the sugar shack where I was, thank God I was asleep when those were happening. Considering all of this evidence, that was accumulated, not to mention certain EVPs and audio that Ed has found on the audio of my paranormal investigation in the home when I was doing that alone, which I just handed over all that stuff to him. I didn't even review those files. So he has been sending me some of those files, and there's some interesting, creepy shit, man, that I didn't hear. You know, that's why you have to listen to the EVPs. You have to listen because you might not hear with your ears. They're not, that's how, you can't pick it up. So now you're hearing it through the recording device. It's just fuck. So not to mention the first night I slept in the house, there's audio of the fucking door. You can hear me breathing heavy. I won't say snoring. And you hear the door fucking close. God damn it. I'm so fucking freaked out right now even just saying this. Because he just sent this to me like within the last week. You hear the fucking door, man. And these doors were held open by little like blocks. And you just hear this really slow, long you know what? Maybe I'll put the audio in right here so you can see how good that impersonation of it just now was. Is it an impersonation when it's an inanimate object? I'm sure Ed won't mind. I'll ask him for permission, but I'm going to put it in at 51. You can hear this door. Now, my door was closed when I woke in the morning, even though the plan was to have an open door night. So in case somebody screamed, everybody else could get to the room very quickly. I know it sounds crazy to even say that, a bunch of adults are having an open door night in the house. In case somebody screams, they can get there quickly. But this is the reality of this place, right? And what we are doing and you know, and what they'd been experiencing for years. So Bill or Carolyn herself, actually, I believe, was one of them, at one point had like closed the door all the way because everybody was in the kitchen making breakfast, having, you know, carrying on, and it was, you know, daylight and all that or whatever. And so I had fallen asleep, so she closed the door to like not wake me up. I thought that's why the door was all the way closed, and which in fact it was. But the door, you hear this fucking door. Ugh. It's so creepy when I hear it. And you hear me like stop like like I, even though I'm asleep, I fucking hear it, man. Oh, God. I'm laughing right now because I'm trying not to be scared. I'm in my own room. Oh, go, go, go. There really needs to be like a detox program of fear. Of this stuff, of the unknown. So, yeah, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going back to this place without Carolyn there to keep me safe. I definitely will not be going back if none of the security guard guys are going back. I just need a gun with one bullet. I don't need more than one bullet. If I'm in a situation in the woods and a fucking monster shows up, I'm not trying to shoot the monster, man. I'm like, I'll do myself the favor. I just need one bullet, and that's for me. I'm not playing that game, dude. I'm not playing that game to see what happens to me. That's a game I have no interest in playing. And maybe this is getting dark. This is getting a little dark here at the end. Remember when this Mindcast started 5.5 years ago, and it was like, man, what's possible? Bigfoot's pretty cool. No, I'll have a gun with one fucking bullet so I can shoot myself in the fucking face because I don't want to know what happened. I don't need to know. I don't need to be a missing person poster. Don't need it. Not gonna do it. Okay. I'm sorry that it got dark. I didn't really plan on discussing that element of it, but I believe in disclosure. These are what I'm thinking. Currently, this is what I'm thinking. At the very end of July, there's a new moon happening tomorrow. At 11:11, the thing goes full. A friend of mine just texted me that. The new moon goes full. Let me. By the time you hear this, it'll be. It'll already have happened. So on July 31st at 11:11 p.m., new moon in Leo aligns. Isn't that cool? So do something. I hope you did something cool at 11:11 on that Wednesday, July 31st. I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to really disclose that. It's a little personal. But I know what I'm going to be trying to do. Not trying. There is no try. There is only doing. So, but it's of the magical variety. So, yeah, you know, get into magic. Get into sex magic. Do whatever other kind of magic you want to get into. So, yeah, I will keep you posted if I'm going to go back to Florida. That'll be in early October. I do know that, it scares the out of me right now. So, as of right now, the answer is no. I will not be going back. That probably will have to change. Because, I mean, I'm not going to live my life in fear. I've had multiple tarot card readings that have told me that I need to, it is imperative for my future joy and happiness that I must return to nature. I know exactly what that means because I've said fuck you out loud when the cards show up. And that's a true story, me saying fuck off. Like being so upset about the truth and the reality of what I realize in my own life. God. That green man card showed up from an Ascended Master's deck. I just yelled, fuck off! It was pretty funny, I guess, in hindsight. But very clear what the message is and what the universe intends for me to go back into nature, which I've been doing, hiking and such like that. But, yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. I'll keep you posted on that. Thank you for listening. This has been a 30-year bonus about LED light meditation, I guess. Thank you to Chris over at Light Solutions. Go to ashevillelight.com. You can check that out. Inner Light Journeys, LLC. So ashevillelight.com. Go check it out. I'm telling you, if you're in the area, it's worth it. And I think it's pretty affordable. So definitely something worth trying. You know, people have claimed to have, like, you know, had out-of-body experiences, even had conversations with, like, a deceased relative. So there are profound things that are happening in LED light meditations for people. I saw that I was swallowed by the lizard's eye and was chasing the flower of life. So that's pretty cool. That doesn't happen every day, that's for sure. That's not an everyday activity for me. So I'll keep you posted on what great transformational journey or event is happening in my life because the lizard eye becoming so prevalent. And other people have mentioned to me about lizards and reptiles and meditation, and I find that very interesting, even regarding dinosaurs to some degree. So I'm opening myself up to the universe right now in this moment, saying that if there's more inner knowledge and deeper truth about what these things are and these imageries and these symbols and what they mean specifically for me and for other people who may have messaged me about them, I want that information to come freely and in abundance to us, and we'll make that happen. So keep your ears open for that, I suppose. And I will be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, August 8th and 9th. Then I will be in Lincoln, Nebraska on the 10th. I'll be in Omaha on the 11th. I believe these dates are correct. And then, those might not be correct. Just look at your calendar, son. Just look at your calendar when you do this part. The 9th and 10th, I will be in Sioux Falls. The 11th, I will be in Lincoln. The 12th, I will be in Omaha at O'Leavers. And then on the 14th and 15th, I will be in Denver, Colorado. And then hopefully be back in sweet, sweet home, Los Angeles, by the 18th, if not sooner. So, for a while. So, and then I have Underbelly, the wonderful, weird, fun stand-up comedy show, is on August 24th at Eno Vino, which is in Atwater Village. And so that's a Saturday night. August 24th, Underbelly. It's a free show, so you definitely should come out to that. Love you very much. I hope you love yourself. Please give me a follow at Rai Singh on Instagram and also on Twitter. You can find the Patreon page, patreon.com/Ryan Singer. You can be a patron and support the Mindcast for $1 or $3 per month, which is less than a Starbucks coffee if you get the coffees I get, a venti iced coffee, light ice, almond milk, sugar-free vanilla, three pumps of toffee nut. That's a good combination right there. Hold the straw. We don't need no straw. And then, and so thank you to the patrons. We're at 50, so, I mean, that's pretty cool. It's the highest number yet we've ever had in, like, the 2.5 years I've been doing it, or I think it's been 2.5 years. Yeah, so some people have been since the very beginning. Wow, your loyalty is astounding and very much appreciated. I love you very much. Thank you for that. It helps me out a lot. And it helps keep me going. You know what I'm saying? I think I might be switching to a new hosting service very soon for the Mindcast, which will start to also monetize the Mindcast. Did you hear that? Is that bad? Is that a bad word? That I will be monetizing the Mindcast? Are we there? Are we at those kind of numbers? Are we at that point where the artist has been broken by the foot of capitalism, and I'm being squashed and deciding to finally do advertisements? I mean, I've done a couple. I mean, you know, when I've gotten a couple free things, I've mentioned those in, like, Inner Light Journeys LLC at AshevilleLight.com. See the lizard eye, dude. I mean, go find your lizard eye. Go see Chris. But yeah, we're going to start doing ads, I think. I think it's time. So, 6 years old is when you go to start going to first grade. So maybe we're finally, you know, out of the house as a podcast. I love you very much. Hope you love yourself. Thank you for all the wonderful reviews and things like that. And give me a follow. Send me a message. I also got to give a shout out to my buddy. I don't even know how to describe this 100%, but there's a great artist. Michael, I'm talking about you. So thank you, Michael, for sending me that piece of artwork. I'll post a photo of it. It's really cool. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but other than it's fucking rad. So I'll post photos of it. It's like a three-dimensional art piece. So it's like art all the way around. It's like a rectangle. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, it's like a living art piece, like, all around it. I mean, it's kind of like, it feels like it's got something inside of it. Every way you look at it, every angle you look at it, it changes your perception of what the thing might be. And all angles are pretty cool. So thank you very much, Michael, for that. I'll post that on the Instagram. And so you can follow me at Rai Singh, and you can also find me at Me and Paranormal You on Instagram. So, I'll post that with his handle so you can go see his artwork as well. And I got some cool artwork around here, you know, from my buddy Shreya. Mia Oki is an artist. I won some art on an Instagram thing from hanging up in the house. I'm getting into, hopefully tomorrow, picking up a piece, if there's any still available, at the Black Sheep Burbank Art Gallery from Little Ghouls. Go follow them on Instagram. Some really beautiful dark art stuff. They also make candles and other things like that. But the little ghouls, just find them on Instagram. You'll see what I'm talking about. I'm going to pick up, hopefully, a piece of their artwork tomorrow, if I'm lucky. When I go to Witchy Wednesday, where some witches get together and do some communal rituals, which is something I'd done once before I left town. I'm going to go back tomorrow for the second time. Zachariah the Witch kind of runs those, who I interviewed recently. And so it's going to be great to go see Zachariah again and my other new friends that I'm meeting of the vampire and witch variety. Life is pretty cool, man. Just get out there and try to choose life and try to live a little bit. It's more fun to believe. And, I believe that I have no idea what's coming next, but it's going to be pretty cool. So, all my love to you. And if I don't see you at a show of the stand-up comedy variety, I've also got an exciting announcement, hopefully, for December. Oh, my God, if you're fans of Hellier. and the Mindcast. Oh my God. And you're in the Southern Ohio region, you just might shit your pants if it comes together. Anyway, yeah. So if I don't see you at a show on the road, I hope to see you at the watering hole.